Okay, so you've probably seen this around this pretty audacious claim that's been making
Yeah,
headlines.
the one from RFK Jr. about finding the cause of autism.
Exactly. Saying he's going to pinpoint the cause and get this, eliminate the exposures by September 2025. It's everywhere in the news.
And what's really striking, I think, and important right off the bat, is how the autistic and neurodivergent community responded.
Oh, immediately and powerfully.
Yeah, their reaction to this whole idea of a cure, it was very direct. It really challenges the whole premise.
It really does. And that's the heart of what we're going to get into today. What's actually behind this, very confident prediction?
And why did it provoke such a strong, almost visceral reaction from the neurodivergent community itself?
Right. So our mission here is to unpack all of that. We'll look at the details of the claim using the news reports and also bring in the community's own statement to understand their perspective.
Okay, so the claim itself. What did RFK Jr. actually pledge? What are the nuts and bolts?
Well, according to the reports, and it's kind of interesting, one source mentions this happening in like a cabinet meeting context, while others frame it more around his role as a U.S. presidential candidate. So a slight difference there in the reporting context.
Got it. But the core
The
promise.
core promise is for a massive testing and research effort, and he set that very specific deadline, September 2025. Quoting here, "By September, we will know what has caused the autism epidemic and we'll be able to eliminate those exposures." He talked about it being a global thing, too,
Global,
meaning
bingo.
involving hundreds of scientists from around the world. That's the picture painted.
That's quite a statement, especially when you think about, well, all the research that's already happened over decades trying to understand autism spectrum disorder. And, it also kind of brings his history into focus, right? His past promotion of those theories linking vaccines to autism.
Absolutely. Theories that have been, comprehensively debunked.
Thoroughly debunked, yeah. So that history definitely colors how people are hearing this new claim.
No doubt. And look, to be fair, he did seem to broaden the scope in some statements,
Yeah.
said they'd look at everything.
Everything likely.
Like vaccines, obviously, but also food, water, air, even parenting approaches, just everything.
Okay, so incredibly broad, but what about the specifics of this research? The how?
Well, that's the thing. It sounds massive. But the details, they're pretty thin on the ground. We haven't really seen specifics on the research plan, the methods, or, the big one.
The funding.
Exactly. Where's the money coming from for this massive effort? That's not clear.
And speaking of funding, isn't there also reporting about significant budget cuts?
Yeah, that's another layer. Reports indicating the budget for HHS, this Health and Human Services, was slashed.
And HHS oversees NIH and CDC, the major research bodies.
Precisely. So it does raise that question, doesn't it? How feasible is this huge new research project if the overall health research budget is reportedly being cut?
It seems like a contradiction. And wasn't there also some controversy around a specific hire related to this?
Ah, yes. The reported hiring of David Guyer to work specifically on research into vaccines and autism.
Right. And that name rings a bell. Didn't that cause some concern?
It did. Democrats in the House, actually, they voiced what they called urgent concern about his appointment.
Okay, so why the concern? What's his background?
Well, he's often described as, a leading vaccine skeptic. But more than that, he was actually fined
Fine for what?
for practicing medicine without a license and for prescribing treatments to autistic children that were deemed dangerous.
Wow. Okay. So his involvement definitely adds to the skepticism around RFK Jr.'s whole plan then.
You could say that, yeah. It certainly adds another dimension to consider. So that kind of lays out the claim and the context surrounding it.
Right. So let's pivot now to the scientific side. What does the, established scientific understanding tell us about this idea of finding the cause by next September?
What's the reality check from the experts?
Well, the overwhelming view, really the consensus in the scientific community, is that autism spectrum disorder is just incredibly complex.
Not a simple cause and effect thing.
Not at all. Decades of research point pretty consistently towards a combination of genetic factors, predispositions, and also environmental influences playing a role.
So the idea of finding one single cause.
Yeah, finding the cause, like it's one specific thing you can just isolate and eliminate by next fall. Most experts see that as well, unrealistic.
Misguided, maybe?
Misguided, perhaps. It sort of misunderstands the complex, multifaceted nature of autism that we currently understand. It's not like finding a single germ for a specific disease. It seems much more intricate than that.
Okay. And we know diagnoses have gone up quite a bit since, say, 2000.
Yeah.
The CDC figures for 2020, I think, were nearly 2.8% of 8-year-olds identified with autism. What's the scientific take on that increase?
That's a really important point. Scientists mostly attribute that rise to a couple of key things. One is just much greater awareness.
People know what to look for more now. Doctors, parents, teachers.
Exactly. And alongside that, the diagnostic criteria themselves have actually broadened over time.
Ah, so the definition expanded.
Right. So it means more people who are on the autism spectrum are being identified now compared to the past. It's less likely a sudden epidemic caused by one new thing and more about better recognition and a wider diagnostic net.
That makes sense.
Right.
But RFK Jr. did mention looking at environmental factors, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does the science say about those? Is there anything concrete there?
Absolutely. And that's definitely an active area of research. It's not being ignored. The NIH, the National Institutes of Health, already spends a lot on this.
How much are we talking?
Over $300 million a year dedicated specifically to autism research. And they are looking at potential environmental factors.
Such as?
Things like prenatal exposure to certain things, like pesticides or significant air pollution. Also, complications around premature birth, low birth weight, maternal health during pregnancy, and even older parental age. These are all being investigated.
But investigated as potential contributors.
Exactly. Potential risk factors or things that might influence development in combination with genetic factors. But, and this is key, there's no definitive scientific proof right now that points to one single environmental trigger as the cause of autism. The research is ongoing and complex.
Got it. And, you know, we can't really discuss this without touching on that history again, the whole vaccine autism link idea that RFK Jr. has championed.
We really can't. It's crucial context. That whole idea got major traction from that 1998 paper in The Lancet by Andrew Wakefield.
Which was later retracted.
Completely retracted because investigations found the research was, frankly, fraudulent. Wakefield had conflicts of interest he didn't disclose, and the UK's medical council found he'd actually falsified his results.
Falsified them? Wow.
Yeah. And since then, numerous large-scale, rigorous studies have found absolutely no credible link between vaccines and autism. The scientific consensus on that is incredibly strong.
So, okay, we have the scientific view, the history, which makes the reaction from the autistic and neurodivergent community even more understandable, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Their response to this promise of a cure was immediate, and it comes from a very different place.
What's their core message then? Their main argument against this idea?
Fundamentally, they see autism not as a disease or a defect that needs curing, but as a neurological variation. It's part of their identity, how their brain works.
So the whole concept of a cure is problematic from the start.
Deeply problematic. It implies they're broken, that something is wrong with their essential being. They argue that the difficulties they face often aren't from the autism itself.
But from society.
Exactly. From a society that's unwilling or doesn't know how to adapt and accommodate neurological differences. The barriers are external, not internal, in their view.
And they mentioned something about trauma, too, didn't they?
Yes, that really stood out. The trauma that comes from constantly being told you're broken, that you need to be fixed or changed to fit in.
That must be incredibly damaging.
Profoundly. So for many in the community, this promise of a cure by September doesn't sound like hope. It sounds like Well, like a threat, almost.
Mm.
They see it as broadcasting fear, reinforcing the idea that autism is something terrible to be eradicated. They feel it fuels ableism, you know, prejudice against disabled people, and it actually undermines all the hard work they've done advocating for understanding and acceptance.
So if they reject the cure narrative, what do they want? What are they asking for?
It's pretty clear. They want to be heard, first and foremost. Yeah. They want their experiences validated.
And practical support.
Yes, support and accommodations. Systems in education, in the workplace, in society generally, that actually work for neurodivergent people. They used a great phrase, tone fluency, not tone policing.
Tone fluency. What does that capture?
It means understanding and respecting different communication styles. Rather than demanding everyone conform to neurotypical ways of speaking or interacting, it's about mutual understanding.
And that specific deadline, September 2025, how did they react to that part?
That also struck a nerve. They felt it reduced their lives, their identities, to some kind of urgent problem to be solved quickly.
Like a panic project.
Exactly. Or a simple before and after story. They're pushing back hard, saying, we're not a project, we're people, and our neurotype isn't a crisis to be fixed by a deadline.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they ended their statement with that metaphor, didn't they?
Oh, it's powerful. We are the different kind of music. Learn to listen.
Wow. That really says it all, doesn't it?
It encapsulates their perspective perfectly. It's a call for genuine acceptance, for understanding, for shifting the focus from fixing autistic people to changing society to embrace neurodiversity.
And it wasn't just the community itself speaking out. The Autism Society of America also weighed in on RFK Jr.'s plan.
They did. They put out a pretty strong statement.
What was their take?
They called Kennedy's plan harmful, misleading, and unrealistic. Straight up.
Okay, no mincing words there.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And they explicitly stated that autism isn't a chronic illness or some kind of contagion.
And I remember their president, Christopher Banks, had specific concerns too.
Yeah, he questioned the transparency of the whole proposed research effort. How accountable would it be? And he also made the point that focusing only on environmental causes is misleading. The Autism Society feels that kind of claim just perpetuates stigma.
And distracts from what's needed right now.
Precisely. Distracts attention and vital resources away from the actual critical needs of autistic people and their families today. Things like support services, education, employment opportunities.
So when you pull it all together, you've got this really stark contrast, don't you?
It's incredibly stark.
Yeah.
On one side, you have RFK Jr.'s very confident prediction, this promise of identifying a cause and eliminating exposures by next fall.
And on the other side,
you have deep skepticism from the scientific community based on decades of research. You have a powerful rejection of the cure narrative from the autistic and neurodivergent community itself.
And serious concerns from major advocacy groups like the Autism Society about the plan being harmful and distracting.
Exactly. So listeners are really left weighing these incredibly different viewpoints. There's that impulse, maybe the urgency to find causes and answers.
Which is understandable.
Of course. But then you have the clear voices of autistic individuals saying, hey, our neurotype isn't the problem. Focus on acceptance, focus on support, focus on making society work for us.
This whole deep dive really boils down to a fundamental question for everyone listening to maybe chew on.
Mm.
When you talk about understanding and supporting people with autism, what should the real priorities be? Where should the focus lie?
Is it best placed on this, you know, relentless pursuit of a cure, which many in the community themselves find harmful?
Or should we be putting more energy, more resources into building a society that genuinely understands, accepts, and accommodates neurodiversity right here, right now?
It's definitely something to reflect on, thinking about the implications of each approach based on everything we've just unpacked. Where do we go from here?